UTA debuts its new tracks line to the airport, Chevron begins cleanup in Willard Bay, and a U of U researcher is getting an up-close and never-before-seen view of snowflakes. You're listening to the KUER News Pod for Thursday, April 11th. I'm Brian Grimmett. The new tracks line that transports riders to and from Salt Lake International Airport is scheduled to open this Sunday. Reporters were invited to ride the train yesterday, and KUER's Whitney Evans was there.
Imagine flying into Salt Lake City for the first time, exiting the terminal, boarding a train, and taking in a view of the Wasatch and Ochre Mountains at 60 miles per hour. Steve Meyer is Chief Capital Development Officer for Utah Transit Authority. He says that's a great way to enter the community.
It really makes a statement and creates some excitement in that North Temple corridor that we think is going to generate a lot of new development that's dependent on transit and can use that and play off of the investment that we've made in the corridor. This train will be
The airport tracks line took about 4 years to complete and cost roughly $235 million. Salt Lake and Utah County voters approved a quarter-cent sales tax hike in 2006 to fund the project. Officials say it's under budget and ahead of schedule. UTA spokesman Remy Barron says the construction has been hard on businesses along North Temple, but he says the final product will be a boon for their bottom lines.
And then, obviously, the benefit to catching a flight is incredible, because for $2.50 you can take a train from the airport all the way to Draper or wherever you need to go.
The ride from Arena Track Station to the airport takes about 10 minutes. It makes five stops along the North Temple Business District. This Saturday, the public can ride between Arena Station and the airport station from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. UTA officials are asking for donations of canned food in lieu of charging a fare. Whitney Evans, KUER News.
UTA is also thinking about eliminating its police department. The transit agency employs about 80 full-time officers, many of them veterans of other departments. Salt Lake Tribune reports a UTA board committee looked at the issue at a meeting this week. The agency staff argued sworn police officers are the best choice for enforcing fare payment and handling other issues on buses and trains.
From KUER News in Salt Lake City,
I'm
Dan Bonas.
With the leader, okay? Follow the leader. Stay in the cordoned off areas. Please don't go behind any of the yellow tape, okay? Let's keep everybody safe on the path.
A Chevron safety manager is talking to reporters before taking them on a tour of the cleanup area at Willard Bay State Park. The Chevron pipeline next to I-15 split open in mid-March, allowing more than 20,000 gallons of diesel fuel to spill into a wetland area near the park's North Marina. Chevron has been working to clean up the spill since it happened, bringing in an emergency response team from Houston. The company controls access to the site. It issued its own picture ID to media as they arrived and limited where they could go, even keeping TV camera operators from carrying their gear. Chevron's Patrick Green is the incident commander.
That's the last thing you need, tripping and hitting you. So that's why we're restricting cameras to steel cameras, small cameras only. It's for your safety.
After suiting up in coveralls, hard hats, gloves, safety glasses, and rubber boots, reporters were taken on a path near the road where the initial spill occurred. Here, the soil and the plants growing in it have been scooped up and hauled away. Green then took the group along a small stream leading to the beach.
They went through and they kind of scoured the bottom so you can see where the bottom's been cleaned up to make sure that there wasn't anything. We picked up heavy wooden debris. Some of the plant, the vegetation that was saturated, it's been cleaned up. You'll see it further down. If you look down in here, you can see where we
A plastic material called pom-poms, which absorbs diesel fuel but not water, has been placed along the stream to pick up any fuel left behind.
Deconning your boots, making sure all the diesel and all of the decontaminated, all the materials off your boots. Making sure you don't get it on.
A few minutes later, a worker brought in from Louisiana scrubs everyone's boots with Simple Green at a decontamination station. And while she waits for that treatment, Joel Dia with the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency says she's satisfied with the way the work is going so far.
Well, I think they're doing a fine job. We've seen a pretty dramatic improvement in the area over the last 2 weeks. There's still a little bit of work left to be done, but I think it's going well.
Standing on the beach near the booms put out to contain any remnants of the spill, Walt Baker with the Utah Division of Water Quality says he's also satisfied with the cleanup so far. The division is issuing a notice of violation for the incident, and eventually that could result in a fine.
The whole purpose of a notice of violation is just to allege what we think happened and give Chevron the opportunity of responding to what we allege occurred. And so they'll have a period of time to do that, tell us what happened, what they are doing to prevent it from happening again, and then we'll consider that before we consider anything relative to fines and penalties.
Baker says some samples of water from the reservoir away from the beach have shown minute traces of hydrocarbons. The division will continue testing in the lake and in some new test wells to make sure more doesn't turn up. The pipeline has been repaired and is now back in operation. Chevron's target date for finishing the cleanup and reopening the park to the public is June 1st, the weekend after Memorial Day. The South Marina at Willard Bay is open now and operating normally. Dan Bomas, KUER News.
A landslide came down the northeast wall of the Kennecott-Bingham Canyon copper mine last night at about 9:30. It was in the area where the visitor center was located, though the area was closed and the building was moved after engineers noticed ground movement in the area weeks ago. Kennecott issued a statement saying steps were taken to ensure employee safety, and experts will now evaluate the impacts from the slide. A University of Utah researcher is taking pictures of snowflakes in a way that's never been done before, and the results could help forecasters better predict the weather. If you've ever seen a picture of a snowflake, it probably looked a lot like the paper cutouts made every winter by thousands of first and second graders across the country. Unique, but perfectly symmetrical and flat. But according to Tim Garrett, an atmospheric science professor at the U who helped develop a new way to photograph snowflakes, that image is a lie.
Such symmetry is extremely rare in nature. The reality is that snowflakes are falling through the sky for a long time, and they get completely beat up along the way.
Garrett says the reason most pictures of snowflakes are so perfect is because they're taken on glass slides and not in their natural environment. But thanks to modern technology and his partner, engineer Cale Fallgatter, Garrett is able to autonomously take thousands of 3D pictures of snowflakes untouched while they're still falling. The camera also tracks the snowflake's speed. All this information will then be used to create better weather forecasting models. Garrett says they've already discovered that the size and shape of snowflakes doesn't change fall speeds as much as previously thought.
If that's the case, then that means that we might be able to simplify weather models and come up with something that is not only more accurate, but more simple.
The project currently has two multi-angled cameras located at the Alta Ski Resort that have been taking pictures for the last 2 years. We've put a link to some of the camera's incredible images on our website at KUER.org.
Again, that's one of the criteria that we have. Criminal activity, hanging around with other known gangsters. Boom, there you go. He's a gangster.
About 300 law enforcement professionals are attending Gangs 101 by Detectives Jaime Cardenas and Zach Emmerich with the Metro Gang Unit of Midvale and the Unified Police Department. The seminar is part of the 23rd Annual Utah Gang Conference going on this week at the Southtown Expo Center in Sandy. Experts from around Utah and surrounding states are in town for the latest information about gangs in Utah. Lieutenant Marianne Suarez is the director of the Salt Lake Gang Project and the organizer of the conference. She says it attracts a wide variety of people because it's the only way to deal with increasing gang violence.
Law enforcement can't do it by themselves. Teachers can't do it by themselves. Social workers can't do it by themselves. But all of us working together, we can do it.
Lieutenant Suarez says law enforcement agencies across the state work as a team with regular meetings and daily updates sharing new information online. She says there's a marked increase in narcotics-related gang violence in Utah and also with the influence of Mexican drug cartels now in the state.
Jeremy Johnson has pleaded not guilty to 86 counts of fraud and money laundering. Federal prosecutors say Johnson used his internet-based businesses to fraudulently enroll millions of people in get-rich schemes by charging their credit cards without authorization. The St. George businessman has accused Utah Attorney General John Swallow of being part of a high-level bribery scheme. A judge assigned a public defender for Troy James Knapp yesterday at his first court appearance since he was arrested in San Pete County. Knapp is facing 29 charges in four counties for a string of break-ins at mountain cabins. San Pete County Attorney Brody Kiesel tried to dispel the image of Knapp as an independent mountain man. He told the Associated Press Knapp was going from cabin to cabin and enjoying the night in a queen-sized bed. President Barack Obama hosted Utah's Orrin Hatch and other Republican senators at the White House last night. The budget, guns, and immigration were on the menu. Their dinner came hours after the president unveiled a $3.8 trillion budget proposal. Unemployment rates fell in more than 80% of large U.S. cities from January to February, including Salt Lake City. A report from the U.S. Labor Department suggests strong hiring that month benefited the vast majority of the country. In Salt Lake City, unemployment dropped from 5.3% in January to 5% in February. And finally, Utah star Lotulelei has declined an invitation to attend the NFL draft in New York. He had been expected to go high in the draft, perhaps even to be the top pick. Lotulelei anchored the University of Utah's defense, but he had to back away from a draft preview after questions arose about a heart condition. That's been dealt with now, and he's still expected to go high in the draft. BYU's Ezekiel "Ziggy" Ansah is also expected to be an early draft choice and will be in attendance at the draft. He earned Most Outstanding Player honors for the South team at the Senior Bowl and is projected as a top five pick on many draft boards. And that is your KUER News Pod for Thursday, April 11th. For the latest news and updates from around the state, check out our new free smartphone app that you can download for your iPhone or Android device. Until next time, I'm Brian Grimmett.